Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Alicia Ray. Alicia is a veteran educator of 14 years from North Carolina. She has taught pre-K through eighth grade students and currently serves as a digital learning coach and media coordinator in a STEM magnet middle school in a rural district. Alicia is passionate about being a catalyst for change, lifelong learning, and inspiring others to be better than they were yesterday. She believes every event in life contains a lesson and seeks to discover those lessons, sometimes learning them the hard way. Alicia enjoys infusing technology into the classroom seamlessly and effectively. She began a journey of true introspection and implementation through blogging about the first 50 books published under the Dave Burgess Consulting Inc. label during the summer of 2018, which she called DBC 50 Summer. Never wanting to becoming stagnant again, she continues sharing reflections and implementations using the hashtag DBC Book Blogs. Welcome to the podcast, Alicia.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Well, I'm actually going to go pre-COVID with this one. I'm going all the way back. I was actually hired as a fifth grade math teacher, and I was super comfortable teaching math, felt good with it. And then after 2 years of teaching fifth grade math, I went into fifth grade math and science. So I picked up an extra subject area, but you know, it was just one subject area and I was feeling good. A couple years later, we decided that we were going to become self-contained in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. Now, in North Carolina, that means that there are three tested subject areas. So we had math, science, and ELA that had a standardized test at the end of the year. And so I was really, really nervous about making sure that I was able to do that successfully. You know, going from one subject to two, it was doable. Mm-hmm. Going from two to three plus social studies, which wasn't tested. And then we had writing and grammar and all the mini subjects that go within the subjects. I was so worried. I was stressed out. It was probably one of the toughest experiences for me because I knew my expertise was math and science kind of lent itself to that. But when I went into the humanities, I just felt like a fish out of water. So that was really hard. So
what did you do to kind of get more a comfort zone working with ELA?
Well, luckily I was put in one of the greatest professional learning communities I've ever been a part of. It was absolutely fantastic. In fact, the three of us are still very close today. But we leaned on each other. There was one lady who really had a focus and she had a firm grasp of ELA and she was fantastic in teaching the ELA content. We had another teacher who was just wonderful with collaboration. She did station work. She was just exceptional at pulling the best out of students. And then I had my math and science expertise. And so we leaned on each other a lot. Mm-hmm. And if it weren't for having that PLC and really taking each other's ideas to heart and trusting one another, there's no way we could have made it. We ended up teaching for 3 years together in this PLC. We still, I think we were one of the best PLCs that I've ever seen. I know I'm the one of the best that mm-hmm. that I've ever worked in. But I think that with the ones that I see even now, we just, the trust really helped mm-hmm. us. We moved forward and we were able to serve these kids and the test scores and the kids had fun. So it was a good experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's always like, if you enjoy working with the people that you work with in your department or PLC or grade level team, it makes all the difference, right? That you trust them and they can support you in areas that you might not be as comfortable with and vice versa. And You know, that's truly what changes a lot of people's instructional practice. If they're, you know, in a situation like you were 12 years ago when you had to change and shift and move outside your comfort zone.
Yes, it was definitely out of my comfort zone. I look back on it now and I'm still like, how in the world did I do that? But I know it was the support that I had from my team. And it was a really good experience. It was a good learning experience for me.
Well, you are the author of Educational Eye Exam, Creating Your Vision for Education. And this was published in 2019. And I was just wondering, is this a book for teachers or leaders? And if people were to buy it, kind of what would it help them with?
Yeah. So the book was originally written really for teachers. I'm thinking pre-service teachers, teachers who have just gotten into teaching, but then it also spoke to teachers that have been in for a long time. The great thing about the book is that it allows you to not just reflect. There's a lot of information out there about stopping and reflecting on your practice, but this allows you to take a really deep dive into your practice, into more of your philosophy of education. And what is it that you believe? And then how can you live that out loud for others to see? Not just I say that I don't, that I love literacy in my classroom, or I say that this is a student-centered learning experience. Mm-hmm. But what is it that I have out there? What am I sharing? What am I showcasing that is proof that that's what my beliefs are?
So if people were to kind of go into their first job in teaching, you know, or preparing to interview for a job at a particular school, how can it help them maybe brand themselves and be able to answer some of those interview questions in their own philosophy of education?
Yeah. So one of the things that we talk about is the big E. And so the big E, you know, if you're ever looking at the eye chart, everybody's familiar with the eye chart and it has big E at the top and then different letters below it. It really, within the first chapters, we talk about the big E and how the big E is your why and your purpose and what it is that you believe about education. And the fact is the big E is everybody knows it, right? Yeah, like if I say something about the big E, you immediately go, oh, that's that eye chart thing. And so for educators, we need to have our purpose and our vision at the forefront. And that should be the most recognizable thing that we have is what is it that we do and why do we do it? And then there's more in it about nearsighted versus farsighted. It's never good to be either. You know, if you go to the doctor and they say you're nearsighted, you're getting glasses. If you go to the eye doctor and they say you're farsighted, you're getting glasses because it's never good to be on either extreme. And so in the book, I talk about how nearsighted is more you're so into every single moment of your classroom that you forget that, you know, at the end of the day, there are these things with standardized testing and we do have accountability measures in place and students are expected to show proficiency and growth and that then ties into our proficiency and growth. And so at the same time, being farsighted, if you're so focused on that standardized test at the end of the year, what is it that you're doing day to day that makes your kids want to be there? What is it that you do that makes them excited? And so you've got to find that balance of enjoying the moment with the kids, enjoying the moment with whoever your learner might be, even adult learners, but also keeping in mind that there is accountability and there is a test in a lot of situations looming on the other end. It might be a portfolio or a mastery project, but either way you look at it, there is an end game. And so, you know, in interviewing, it's important to know those things. And it's important to realize that we do have something that we're aiming towards at the end, but also to how are you going to bring yourself into your classroom or in your learning environment where it's an enjoyable place to be until that point at the end. So
Yeah. And like, I like how you have an analogy with a eye exam, right? And kind of the steps that you go through and looking through the different glasses and finding the different lenses that fit, right? And and you said this is a great book for people to work on, maybe with a team, a PLC, you know, used as a book club book in a school as well, because you have chapter reflection questions.
Yes.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
Yes, there are chapter reflection questions throughout. And then there's actually one chapter that's basically just questions. And them. And so some folks will go through and they'll read a chapter and then pause and go towards the end, almost as an appendix, and answer the question there. Or you can read the entire book working through the end the questions, the corrective measures at the end, and then you can go into that chapter and kind of put it all together. And the goal is, by the time you've gone through and done the questions, it has this workbook vibe to it, to where at the end you have your educational philosophy and you know what you believe about education. The great thing is, education is always changing, and the curse is, education is always changing. So that means that your philosophy, your views on education will change over time. So it's not a one and done kind of thing. It's one of those where you really need to pause and dig deep and reflect on what you believe every year or so. You know, really stop and think, is this, our work is too important as educators? Is this really where I'm meant to still be? We have too big of a responsibility, too big of a purpose, to do this and go at it halfway. We really need to throw ourselves into, and to do that, you got to figure out, is this what I still believe? Is this what I want for others?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think spending time in, reading, you know, walking through the steps, maybe discussing with a colleague, maybe not, but really kind of digging deep. That's the kind of work that I think your book helps people with. So yeah, definitely recommend that to others. And so you, before you wrote this book, you had been blogging, as I mentioned in the bio. So talk to me about, so you actually have put a pause on the blogging, and tell me a little bit about why, but kind of what started the blogging in 2018 when you found out about Dave's books.
Yeah. So I had a friend that suggested that I read Dave's first book, Teach Like a Pirate. And I read the book and really just bought into it. It felt good to me. It was that permission to think outside the box and be a little crazy in my classroom. And that's how I was. So, and then I realized that his was not, it's a standalone book, but then he also was publishing other people's books that were doing creative and innovative things in their classroom. And so I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm curious to see what this is about. And in June of 2018, the 50th book was released, and there was this huge party on Twitter with it. And he was giving away the first 50 books and was really interested in that idea. And so I just started reading them in order. And after the first couple, I got so into it that I thought, this is more than me just reading. I need to implement whatever it is that I'm reading. It's got to change my practice, because in Teach Like a Pirate, Dave says, inspiration without implementation is a waste. And that really hit me, as, you know, it's important for me to share with others what I've learned in these books and to share with my students, as it's changing and evolving my philosophy. I had no idea educational eye exam was not even, it wasn't even in the infancy stages then. So, but now I look back on it and think, oh, this was all about my philosophy and what I believe. And so I sat down and I read the first 50 books. I blogged about them in using the hashtag DBC50Summer. 50 books in 101 days, a blog about each. And then the majority of them also have a follow-up with what I did to implement that book. And so I enjoyed it so much. I got so much out of it. My students loved it. They were just like, oh, which book is this from? But I kept going after 50. Well, I've kind of taken a hiatus. I am on book number 85, which is actually educational eye exam. So I've been trying to figure out, you know, what do I say about my own book? How do I want to portray this book? And taking it as a reader and not as the writer. And so I've really just come to this writer's block and this standstill. I'm not giving it up. There's about 130, 140 books out now. So there's several that have followed up, and I don't just blog about the DBC books anymore. I also blog about others' books. So I really, it's just an educational platform where hopefully if someone's interested in a book, I'd like to think that I have several on there that people could go and say, oh, what's this book about? And what can I get out of it? And not take my blog for the substitute. It's absolutely not a substitute. It's more go read this book. It's great. This is what it did for me. So,
Yeah, it's not the Cliff Notes version.
Right. No, it is absolutely not the Cliff Notes. It's not Playboy. So, yeah. I never want somebody to stop at my blog just for that. If you get an idea of, ooh, what's this book going to be about, you know?
But, like, I mean, that's, I think a lot of people, they read educator books and I'll highlight them, but, you know, that's something I never really thought of, like, actually putting out what you think about the book. I mean, I put out reviews about some books, but like actually writing like an article or a blog about what it meant to you, how you can implement that. So, you know, I know that's useful for anybody that's heard about a book, but might not be sure if that is something they want to purchase. So I'll definitely put the link in the show notes to the blogs, and, you know, hopefully readers who don't know of some of the Dave Bridges books and others that you wrote about will be able to stop by there and find out some more. So I know there's a wide variety of topics that people published on through his publishing company. So
yeah, there are, and there's so many great educational books that I wish I had time to read them all. And again, it comes back to how is this going to impact my practice, and how is it going to make me a better educator? So it's a work of passion.
I would like to talk a little bit about your current role. You've taught a lot in elementary grades, but now you're working with 6th to 8th graders, and it's in a STEM magnet school. So tell me a little bit about that.
It's that move from 5th to 6th, that was a shock to the system. It was great. I do teach 6th through 8th grade now. My role, the official job title, is Lead Digital Learning and Media Innovation Facilitator. The Cliff Notes version of that is that I get to serve as the digital learning coach at my school. I get to work with the teachers and really dive in and help them with any creative, innovative, technology classes that they want to try. I'm kind of their safety net, and I love doing that. It means I get to work with students too, and then I also get to serve as the school librarian. So I work on research and literacy and helping students find what they want to read in their free time. You know, I want them to really have a love of reading and not just read because it's a requirement, but read because it's something they enjoy. So I get to really have the best of both worlds, working with teachers and implementing, watching them implement their ideas and through, but also working with students and getting to have that a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun working with the kids and working with the teachers. They are rock stars. It's a STEM magnet middle school, so everything we do is built around a culture of STEM, and I have a great job.
You said you also are working with the gifted talented kids and go into different core classes.
Yes. That's been something new this year that past couple of years, of course, last year with COVID, it looked different. It seems like everything's looking different lately, but I do get to work with our gifted and talented program. Academically and intellectually gifted is the North Carolina version of that. our AIG classes, I get to have my eighth grade students as my homeroom class, and I get to see them 180 days a year, and I love it. And then my sixth and seventh graders, I get to go in with their teachers and help to co-plan and co-teach those lessons as well. So we have all kinds of little mini projects going on. And then we're also diving deep into their curriculum. And again, it's part of my philosophy. I do not believe that because a student is gifted and talented that they should have extra work. I feel like just go deeper and have a more real world application and for them to really see this is why this is important. So like right now, my eighth grade students and I are getting ready to play the stock market. So we're super excited. We're starting Monday, and I was introducing it to some of my kids. And, you know, if you teach middle school, you know that when they're saying, let's go, it's a good thing. So I got a let's go out of some kids. So I'm excited for Monday.
Yeah. Any game that gets kids really involved, you know, that's, you know, you've done a good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's great to hear that you've, you know, stepped into a role where, you know, it's multiple things in the building, kind of different hats, but you're making a difference both with teachers and their lessons, but also working with kids in your homeroom and those kids that are identified as GT. So it's been a pleasure getting to know about your work and your book today. And out of everything we talked about on the podcast, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
One of the things I really want them to remember is inspiration without implementation is a waste. I wish I could say that that is my quote, but it absolutely is not. It comes from Teach Like a Pirate by Dave Burgess. But, you know, whether it's a podcast that you're listening to, if you're inspired by something, if it's a book that you're reading, if it's something you see on TV and you see that educational connection to it, be inspired and then share it with others, whether you're implementing at your school level, in your classroom, in your district, whatever your learning environment might be, or it may just be an implementation for yourself, like BBC 50 Summer was for me. Just implement whatever it is that you're inspired by, because your implementation will then further inspire someone else, and it just keeps paying it forward. And we need that in education right now, for sure.
Yeah, and it's a really good thought to end with, because I think a lot of us, through your book, through my podcast, a lot of us are out there doing those things that we're trying to pay it forward and help inspire others. So where can people connect with you and find you online?
Yes, so I am on Twitter and Instagram, both as at I Love Educating, I-L-U-V, Educating. You can also use the hashtag EduIExam on any educational or any social media platform. I'm usually on there creeping. And then, of course, my blog is at AliciaRay.com.
Great. Well, I'll make sure I put those in the show notes. Thank you so much for being a guest on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. It was a pleasure having you on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This was a pleasure.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.